So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 2, text number 47. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Karmani Eva Adhikara Te Ma Paleshu Kadachana Ma Karmapala Hetu Bhu Ma Te Sanga Astu Akarmani Karmanyeva Dikaraste Ma Paleshu Kadachana Makarma Palahetur Bhur Mate Sangostva Karmani Karmanye Vadikaraste Mapaleshu Kadachana Ma karma pala hetur bhur Ma te sangastva karmani Karmani in prescribed duties Eva certainly Adhikara right. Te of you. Ma never. Paleshu in the fruits. Kadachana at any time. Ma never. Karmapala in the result of the work. Hetu, cause, bhu, become, ma, never, te, of you, sangha, attachment, us to, there should be, akarmani, in not doing prescribed duties. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. Therefore, there are three considerations here: prescribed duties, capricious work, and inaction. Prescribed duties are activities enjoined in terms of one's acquired modes of material nature. Capricious work means actions without the sanction of authority. And inaction means not performing one's prescribed duties. The Lord advised that Arjuna not be inactive, but that he perform his prescribed duty without being attached to the result. One who is attached to the result of his work is also the cause of the action. Thus he is the enjoyer or sufferer of the result of such actions. As far as prescribed duties are concerned, they can be fitted into three subdivisions, namely routine work, emergency work and desired activities. Routine work performed as an obligation in terms of the scriptural injunctions, without desire for results, is action in the mode of goodness. Work with results becomes a cause of bondage. Therefore, such work is not auspicious. Everyone has his proprietary right in regard to his prescribed duties, but should act without attachment to the result. Such disinterested, obligatory duties doubtlessly lead one to the path of liberation. Arjuna was therefore advised by the Lord to fight as a matter of duty, without attachment to the result. His non-participation in the battle is another side of attachment. Such attachment never leads one to the path of salvation. Any attachment, positive or negative, is the cause for bondage. Inaction is sinful, therefore, fighting as a matter of duty was the only auspicious path of salvation for Arjuna. Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitan Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivishakanvitamscha. Many people say, because I am karma yogi, because I do my duty. I work my job, I take care of my kids, my wife, therefore I am a karma yogi. But that's not a karma yogi. That's a karmi. Karma yogi means the results of that work are offered to Krishna. If I take the results of my work and I try to enjoy them for myself, then I have to get the reaction. Whatever I do, I get all the reactions. If the result of that work is offered to Krishna, then I don't get any karmic reactions at all from that activity. And I get spiritual benefit of having offered the result to Krishna. That's bhakti. So please try to understand the difference between a karmi and a karma yogi. It's completely different. A karmi is entangling himself more and more in the materialic nature. The karma yogi is becoming liberated. Externally, the activity is just the same. They look the same externally. But the consciousness is completely different. It's like in some corporation, maybe a couple, you know, computer programmers, and they're both really fired up, they work really hard, they do a great job. And they're both very highly appreciated by the company. One of them's a karmi and the other's a karma yogi. Externally, they look the same. They're both fired up about their job. They're expert, they're good, they're appreciated. They have good relationships with all the co-workers and the boss, etc. Externally, they look just the same. But the consciousness on the inside is different. Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he's the ideal He's the prototype household of he's a pure devotee. And he was an employee also of a big outfit called the British government. And they very much appreciated his work. If there was any problems that couldn't be solved, they'd have Bhaktivinoda Kaur do it. Like if there's some Hindu Muslim riot in a village, they would send him to solve the problem. I guess you all know the story of Vishakasena, that imposter Bhagavan. He had mystic powers. He wanted to defeat the British government. He was trying to make a revolution against the British government. So they became a little interested to curb him down. So they sent Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he successfully curbed down the bogus incarnation. You see, he was very much appreciated by the British government. So he said, I earn a livelihood to support Krishna's household. That one little, I'm working to maintain my house, my family. No, Krishna's family, Krishna's house. That's the difference. Who do you think the proprietor is? Are you the proprietor of your home, of your wife, your kids, your husband? Is they your property? Or do they belong to Krishna? See, that's the difference. You have to see everything as the property of Krishna. And then by that duty, you become liberated from this material world. Just as Arjuna, by doing that duty, he became liberated. But if you think the results belong to you, you're in trouble. Now, some people say, oh yes, I am karma yogi. Everything I do is for Krishna. It's easy to say that, but look at it. How are they actually engaging those resources? See, it's all for Krishna. You go, you visit in their house, and what do they do on Sunday afternoon? They watch Bollywood movies. They're doing it for Krishna. You see what I'm saying? On the lips is not enough. It has to be practical. You have to really be absorbing your family in Krishna consciousness. It's like there's an ashram. It's a setting, you know, it's very strict. I know when I joined the Brahmachari ashram back in 71, we had rules posted on the wall. You couldn't talk. You were restricted about what you could talk about and what you could not talk about. You could only talk about Krishna conscious things. You couldn't talk other things. You weren't allowed. Everything is, it's an ashram. An ashram is a place where only Krishna conscious activities can go on, and activities that are being offered to Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. That can even include your kids getting educated so they can, you know, have that, be an educated person. They can use that in Krishna's service. You see? But everything should be for Krishna. In fact, that if Prabhupada were to be there, Prabhupada would walk into your house, you wouldn't be embarrassed by the things that are lying around in this room and that room. Oh my God, I better hide this and hide that. Prabhupada's here, I gotta hide all this stuff. You see? It should be when Prabhupada comes in, he would look around and see all the books and the CDs, whatever there. He said, oh, very nice. You see? That is ashram, you see, where Prabhupada can walk into your home, in every room of your home, and be very happy to see how you're living in every room, the parents, the children. Not that they have, you know, some basketball stars poster, you know. You should inspire your children that they want to put, you know, that having some basketball star, Michael Jordan, in their bedroom, you know, they have Prabhupada or Bhaktisiddhanta or your spiritual master. There should be, I think you got the point. You have to merely turn your home into an ashram. And then by going to your job and supporting your ashram, you're not supporting a place of sense gratification. That makes you a yogi, you see, a devotee. Karma yogi is a devotee. Makes you a yogi, devotee. And then you can find real happiness and real peace in that family life. Great satisfaction. Otherwise, family life is described andhakupa, a dark well. Dark well means, it's like in some agricultural field, there may be a well that was there many decades ago and the people forgot about the well. And, you know, a bunch of grass grew up around it. It's completely forgotten about. There was a brick wall, but the brick wall deteriorated. It fell apart. It's an old, old well, but people forgot about it. If you just go wandering out in the fields one day, in the high grasses, kind of, you know, and you just happen to, you don't really know it's there, and all of a sudden, whoop, you step into it, and you fall down inside that well. And it's way out in a remote area. And there's no way to climb out. It's too deep, and the walls are too slick. And you're calling for help, but nobody can hear you because you're a far distant place. So what is your hope of surviving? You have water, you can, and maybe it's a dry well. If there's water in the well, at least you can drink water for a few days, or maybe you're drowning in the well if it's deep. So household life without Krishna consciousness is like a skandakupa, a dark well. It's a hopeless position. You're just totally in absorbed in sense gratification of yourself and your family members, and can never get out of the trap. But if we take help from the bona fide spiritual master, he can save us. So guru is very important. Therefore, Krishna says, tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadengshatite jnanam jnananas tatvatarshinah. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. If you will take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, which is the first item given by Rupa Goswami, Adau Garashvayam, the very first thing you must do to become successful in spiritual life is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. If you will do that under the orders of Rupa Goswami, then he will rescue you from the dark well of sense gratification and elevate you into the Vaikuntha world. Even within your present life, you'll be living in the spiritual world 24/7. But you have to be humble. You have to realize the necessity, absolute necessity, of taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Absolute necessity. Some people say, well, Prabhupada's a spiritual master. He is, that's true. But Prabhupada said that after he departs, that the new devotees should become the disciples of his disciples, because you need someone who can actually correct you. You see, it's very nice to have Prabhupada. Prabhupada is our authority, his books. But one lady, an Indian lady in London, she said, Swamiji, can't we just have a spiritual master by reading books? Prabhupada said, no. She said, don't make a spiritual master in the air. Make guru concrete, you see. You need a spiritual master who can actually tell you. You can hear him talk. Prabhupada will talk if our hearts are completely pure within the heart. But if we're not on that level, we need a spiritual master who we can actually hear him. He says, this is good, this is not good. You see, we need that person who can tell us when we're doing something correctly, we're doing something incorrectly. Otherwise, we're just speculating. Well, I think this is good, I think that's not good. We're speculating. That's why we need a spiritual master, an authority, who can tell you what you need to do and what you need to avoid. It's very essential. Guru is required. You see, tad viganartam sagrumeva vigatshet. It's very strongly stated in the Mundaka Upanishad. If you want to realize the absolute truth, then you must approach a bona fide spiritual master. I don't know if you've studied Sanskrit grammar, but in the verbal endings have different meanings. The root and then there's the ending. So just like we say, gachati, he goes. Then you stick an N in there, gachanti, they go. You see, gach is there. But then gachati, he goes, gachanti, they go, and gachchet, must go. When that ending, the gachchet, that's called the vidhi lind form of the verb. So when that vidhi lind form is utilized, that means it is compulsory. There is no options. So Mundaka Upanishad is making it very firm point. Eva vigatschet, you must go to the spiritual master if you want to realize the absolute truth. Being a pious Hindu is not enough. You need a spiritual master. Not just a formal guru. Like many people, when they were kids, they got initiated in India. A family guru came, gave me Gayatri. No, you need a spiritual master who's a pure Vaishnava, coming in an unbroken line as a siddhic succession back to Krishna, who can actually give you the connection with God, genuine connection. It's like if you want to plug in an electric appliance, you have to plug it into the outlet in the wall. You may have a very nice lamp, but it's not plugged in, it's not going to do anything to brighten your room. So if you want to become spiritually enlightened, if you want to become illuminated with spiritual knowledge, you want to become enriched with love of God within your heart, you need to have a connection with a bona fide spiritual master. You need to be plugged in. So we have about 13 minutes left. If you have some questions, I'd be happy to answer them. We could have announced and write it down. That's always good to do that. Make it and send it up on a piece of paper. Question? Any of the local people have questions? They're first priority. Yeah.
Speak a bit. He's
saying that you said that we must have a spiritual master, but if we have some kind of doubts or something in the heart, to trust that person or not trust that person, so what to do then?
So, then therefore, you should study this, you should find out, you think, well, maybe this person could be my spiritual master, maybe not, so you have some doubts. Well, that's good to have some doubts, because that means you have some intelligence, and that's good. Because in this age, there's so many cheaters. And the guru comes, he says, I'm God, you're God, and we're all God. You see? Or he engages in worshiping the demigod. But Krishna says, those who worship the demigods have lost their intelligence. That means a guru who engages the disciples in demigod worship has no brains. You know that verse? He said, Kamaistaista Hritigyana. Their knowledge has been stolen by illusion. How many Hindu temples are there in Tirana where they worship demigods? So who are the gurus who are telling them to do that? Is it? Who are authorizing this thing? According to the supreme authority, Krishna, they've lost their intelligence. So one should be skeptical. You should study carefully the writings of Srila Prabhupada, find out what are the qualifications of a bona fide spiritual master. And if you think somebody is a guru or maybe not, then you have to study that person, hear their lectures, you know, associate with them, study their behavior, study their attitude, study their demeanor. It's at least for 6 months it's described in these scriptures. At least 6 months you should study. The guru studies you for 6 months to see if you're a bona fide candidate, and you should study the guru also for 6 months to see if he's a bona fide candidate to be a guru. You see, the GVC is not the one that has to decide for you. You have to decide yourself. You're the one who decides who's a bona fide guru. You have to actually, ultimately, it's your decision. Is this person a bona fide spiritual master or not? It's not that somebody else, some committee, can vote and say he is. What if the committee is wrong? You see, there are many committees that don't know what they're doing. It's up to you to study the scriptures, beg the mercy of Krishna, and study this person. Is he a bona fide spiritual master that I can give my life to? It's up to you to make that judgment with the help of Krishna and other senior devotees. You can take help. It's the most essential thing. If I'm going to get married, I'll think it over 100 times, you see. Before I spend a whole life with some particular woman, I'll think it over 100 times at least, you see. So but guru is for all of eternity. So how much you must deliberate on that one? At least 1,000 times you must deliberate, you see. So one should study the scriptures. Prabhupada's books are very clear. Study these books very carefully. You see, what are the qualifications of a person who can purely represent Srila Prabhupada as the next acharya in the line of succession. You study these books. Prabhupada's books give everything you need to know. Even this one book, Bhagavad Gita, if you'll read it again and again and again and again, go deeper and you'll have perfect knowledge of how to decide who is a bona fide spiritual master and who is a fake. Okay?
Yeah.
Any other questions from the locals? Yes.
Prabhu, see, we have our own guru and there are other gurus also. Some gurus have very close relationship with their disciples. They're able to keep very closely in touch with them, whereas some gurus are not so able to keep. And if, fortunately or unfortunately, if I have a guru whom I'm not able, like if I need answers to some questions urgently, I'm not able to get it. Whereas I see that some others are getting it so easily. So how in this situation am I to feel happy and not envious and not affected by this fact that someone else is able to get the answers to their questions, and they are in touch with their guru so easily, whereas I am not. How do I control my, you know, any sort of bad thoughts that come in?
You should think, somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, I am a disciple of this particular spiritual master. That's Krishna's arrangement. Krishna is the supreme orchestrator. And he arranges for each and every devotee that particular situation which is most beneficial for their progress. So if you want to blame somebody, you ultimately have to blame Krishna. But you really can't blame Krishna because he's your topmost well-wisher. Whatever situation you're in is his mercy and his kindness. You should think, well, Krishna is putting me in this situation because I need to learn a certain type of lesson. He's putting that other devotee in the other situation because they need to learn a particular type of lesson. You have to have faith in Krishna. Well, that really boils down to you have to have complete faith in Krishna. But there is, you know, you can also take, just like now you're inquiring for me. You're not my initiated disciple, but you're inquiring for me. And I'm giving you with all love and care, all loving care, I'm giving you answers. So it's not that you can only get answer from your initiating spiritual master. The Prabhupada says we have one Diksha Guru, but we can have many, many Siksha Gurus, you see. But Siksha Guru means one who helps you to become better disciple of your Diksha Guru. Not that he's trying to now become your guru and steal your heart away from your guru, you see. The bona fide Siksha Guru is that person, that guru who helps you to be a better disciple of your spiritual master. In other words, he serves your relationship with your Diksha Guru. He doesn't try to interfere with it. He tries to help you to be a better disciple of your initiating spiritual master. So you can take advantage of, if there's that difficulty in our society, we have many senior Vaishnavas, those who initiate, those who do not initiate. You can take them as Siksha Gurus, those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, and he can advise you in such a way to make you a better disciple of your initiating spiritual master. They can be Siksha Gurus for you and help you through various difficulties. And on the other side, you can also be very intelligent to find out various channels where you can get answers from your spiritual master. You may know somebody who's in very close contact with him, and you know, it's a matter of intelligence. And ask them to ask him. You see. Tesham tatata yuktanang bhajatam bhatti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. That's another solution. You have to become a pure devotee. And then Krishna will answer all of your questions from within. Yeah.
Isn't Prabhupada said that spiritual envy is good, and if you can see that Krishna is recognizing somebody more, then I should work more harder?
That's another angle of vision. I was, when I was a young devotee in ISKCON, when Prabhupada was on the planet, I was seeing that I was in a remote temple in Austin, Texas, and in Dallas. I was in places where we hardly saw Prabhupada, if ever we saw, he came there. So there'd be devotees coming through and telling us, well, you know, I was with Prabhupada on a morning walk, I was with him in his darshan, in his quarters, and he said this, he looked at me and he said this, and I couldn't stand it. I was so envious, it just drove me crazy. But I said, this isn't good to be envious of my godbrothers. So I wrote Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada, I have this problem of envy. I'm envious of my godbrothers who are getting so much of your association where I'm not getting it. How can I get over this envy, Srila Prabhupada? So I was thinking, Prabhupada, tell me how to get over the envy, as I waited for the answer to come back. And I got the answer. I was really surprised by Prabhupada's answer. He said, spiritual envy means that when you see that somebody is being recognized more by Krishna than you, you should try harder to please Krishna more than they are pleasing Krishna, so that he'll recognize you also. Prabhupada said, he didn't say guru, he said Krishna, but it all is the same thing ultimately. So if they're getting more guru prasad, more guru mercy than you are, you see, then you should think they're pleasing Krishna more than I am. So let me try harder so that I will also be recognized and get. That's a very good point, my wife. Krishna Priya Devi Dasi brought that. Remind me of that wonderful instruction I got from Prabhupada. So there is such a thing as spiritual envy. And if you play your cards right, you can transform that spiritual envy into Krishna prema. Any other questions? We got about 60 seconds for a quick one. All right?
I have one question about myself. I have my family guru, and I was from him, that I have a guru in my home. But unfortunately, I leave from my country and living here. So how I get tasked with guru, or I need to change my guru or not?
What?
He says he has a family guru. But he kept him, he has the worship of the guru going on, so if he wants to change, how he can do that? Does he need to change or what?
Well, it really depends on the spiritual master. I mean, somebody, if he's actually a pure Vaishnava, and then, you know, really actually a pure devotee of Krishna, and he's preaching pure, you know, Vaishnava Siddhanta, then there's no need to change guru.
Yes.
But, no?
To be in disciplic succession?
Yeah, if he's in a bona fide disciplic succession, he's a pure devotee, he's preaching pure bhakti. I know we had this situation, somebody, someone had a guru in India, but his guru, they serve out tea as prasadam, you know, caffeinated tea. It's part of their sangha, prasad, tea prasadam. So it's, you have to see if he's actually a pure Vaishnava in a bona fide disciplic succession. What succession is he in?
He is a Vaishnava, he says.
Which Sampradaya?
Yeah. Krishna consciousness, yeah.
Krishna consciousness. It's called.
Sorry?
Gaudiya Mat?
Which parampara? Like, where is he coming from?
Which
who is his
guru's guru? Oh, I don't know that. You don't even know his
sampradaya? When I was in 4 years old, that time I was in Delhi.
But now you're an adult. You never found out what his sampradaya is and make sure he's bona fide or not?
But Krishna consciousness, I mean Krishna...
Yeah, Krishna you're from Bangladesh?
Yes.
Okay.
Huh?
You can find out
he's
first.
From Bangladesh.
From Bangladesh. He needs to find out.
Yeah, he may not be, he may be bogus. I mean, I was initiated by a bogus guru, and I rejected him. I got initiated by a bogus guru back in about 1968, I think it was. And I realized he's completely bogus, so forget it. You can just, if the guru is bogus, you can just walk away from it, like it never even happened. Let me get it over with, you know, I have a bona fide spiritual master. You have to see, I mean, if he's actually a pure Vaishnava in a bona fide succession, then you can, you know, you can, there's no need for reinitiation, but if he's just one of these formal, you know, titled, what is it, in name only, you know, what is that word, he's just a guru in name only, he's not really a bona fide spiritual master, then you need to get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. So now you have to do some homework to see what are his teachings. What is he teaching? Is he teaching Mayavad philosophy?
Yes.
He is?
Yes.
Oh, you immediately reject him. If he's Mayavadi, immediately reject him. If there's no question, if he's teaching Mayavadi philosophy...
No, my body, no. Bhagavad philosophy, I heard like that. So.
Mayavadi.
Huh?
Mayavadi.
He's saying Bhagavad philosophy.
No.
Huh?
He misheard the question.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mayavadi philosophy. You have to see what is... Do you have any printed document of his teachings? Any recorded? Can you even study what he's teaching? Do you have any idea what he's teaching?
Okay, better I will follow. I will look. What is their relation, guru parampara? I mean, how come they don't come? Then I can decide. Okay, that's the best way.
You have grown up since four years.
Yeah.
What you have been practicing? If he was a bona fide guru, you would know what he was teaching you.
He would have trained you how to become a pure Vaishnava.
I was trained and following always. Yeah, I'm following like that way.
What
but
is that?
But without task with him.
What did that? He teach you?
So what was his training to you on how to live your life? Did he teach you to chant the names of God on a regular
yes,
daily
yes,
basis?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, chant the names of Krishna.
Well, that's nice. What about diet?
Sorry?
What about your diet? What diet did he treat you?
Oh, diet, but I am not controlling that.
Huh?
But he is not controlling that.
He doesn't.
He is not controlling the diet.
The guru didn't teach anything.
No, he is not controlling.
But did he teach? Did he tell you what your diet should be?
Should be vegetarian. Yes. Vegetarian. Should be vegetarian. No.
Just vegetarian. No prasadam.
Only tell you, he told you you can only take Krishna Prasad?
Yeah, only take Krishna Prasadam. Yes.
Only Krishna Prasadam.
Yes.
Well, he's scored well on those points. 2 points.
What else he taught you?
We're going way over time, Devi. We're already 5 minutes over time. You have to investigate it.
We can talk outside.
Yeah, if you have no relationship with him from the age of 4, no contact with him, no, you're not reading his teachings. If you had no contact with him at the age of 4,
yeah.
A guru means someone who's training you, he's teaching you and guiding you how to become a pure devotee. That's what you have to see. Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita.
Now it's time going.
Ki jai.